You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And we are the Broadway Husbands.
You're an all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
We are so proud to be members of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check out all of our episodes and our beautiful array of other Broadway-themed podcasts at BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com. Also, during this time, we are raising money to help the Actors Fund with t-shirts that say Bring Back Broadway. If you want to help Bring Back Broadway, go to BroadwayLifeApparel.com. All right, we are at episode 22. And today we have a couple on who I've followed for quite some time. In fact, they were kind of my inspiration for wanting to start Broadway Husbands Instagram account because their photos were just so inspiring. It's Michael Lindsay and Matthew Schuller. Welcome to the Broadway Husbands podcast, guys.
Thank you.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for having us. It's so good to finally meet.
I know. I just think your content, A, is beautiful, but it clearly represents an honest and authentic version of your relationship, which I think is so nice to see. I mean, I just feel like there's everything you do is just really truthful and honest. And it's very easy, I think, on social media to not be. I mean, at least be able to hide behind it. And one of the cool things about your relationship is that you met through social media. Tell the story.
Yeah.
We did. I was just going to say, I was like, oh, then we must be doing a really good job on social media for making it look super honest and real.
I mean, maybe we'll find out differently during this interview.
Maybe. But... Oh, you will. No. Yeah, so we did meet through YouTube. We met online. This was back in 2014. But we actually met through our coming out videos on YouTube. So I came out in 2013 and I posted a YouTube video with my coming out story. Before I was on Instagram, I was on YouTube for a number of years. So I used to post video blogs, and I just remember at the time I really felt compelled to share my story and share with my audience that I was gay. And so I did that in 2013. And then in 2014, a year later, Michael posted a video response to that.
Well, yeah, so he did a 1 year after coming out, sort of like, here's what my last year was like out at my Christian university, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, he was just saying it overall is really, really positive. And so he was encouraging other people to do it. And it's something that I had wanted to do, kind of in the sense of like, I mean, I wanted to make one. I wanted people to hear it from me, but I knew I couldn't let everybody, like, I couldn't call everybody I knew. I couldn't let, like, call all my relatives, you know? And so I didn't want everybody hearing it through the grapevine. So I was like, I knew it was something I wanted to do. And then his video, like encouraging other people and like trying to like create this sort of hashtag thing. I was like, that's actually like cool. Like, this is the time I feel compelled. And then I actually made it that night or the next day, that day or the next day even. And then I posted it like right away. And so I think I was like one of the first video responses.
But
I
know you were one of the only video responses.
There was a few. And then
he tweeted it at me, and then I saw the tweet. I was like, okay, he's cute, cool. Then I started watching his video and I was like, oh my god, we have quite a few similarities in our upbringing and just everything. There's a lot of things that struck me.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the same for me. There's just so many things that I thought were kind of similar. Like, we were both interested in the medical field, and I had just kind of started making YouTube videos. He'd been doing it for a long time. I was a year maybe in front of him or in school or something like that.
But we just had a lot of questions at that time. So
yeah, I actually was the first one who reached out though, like on Facebook after that. And I was like, hey, I don't hope this isn't weird if you just like want to talk, but I feel like we have a lot in common. He was like, yeah, here's my phone number. And then we actually started,
both of us were like making leaps and bounds from the beginning, because it was like, oh, this is kind of weird that, you know, you saw me on YouTube and you added me on Facebook, and you know, normally it would be weird, but then at that point it was like, no, I this isn't weird, here's my phone number, let's talk.
Yeah. And it wasn't expecting it to like turn into obviously what it did. I mean,
neither of us were. It was just kind of like, okay, let's talk, and we talked, and then it was like, oh my god, I really like you, and now I kind of want to meet. And we just kept talking every day since that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was within a week he bought a plane ticket to Seattle to come visit. So
you were in Seattle and you were in Portland.
He was in Nebraska.
I was in Nebraska.
Oh, how did you end up in Portland?
I wasn't expecting it to really like turn into anything, because I was like, we're half a country away, but he's really cool and cute and I want to talk to him. But I was like, I mean, what are the chances that like this is gonna pan out?
He was just getting ready to go to dental school and I was finishing up college for pre-med in Seattle. So basically he flew out and we met right after that happened. But it's kind of I don't know if I need to get into it, but like a lot of stuff happened when he first flew into Seattle. Kind of went to a complicated start to our relationship, but it's a long story.
A good one. But
yeah. Is there a video? Can link to the video.
We can link to the video. Yeah. There's multiple videos discussing like the beginnings of our relationship and this just like the things that happened. And it wasn't even between us. It was just like things around us that were happening that were like kind of emotional and surprising and, you know, kind of put us in like a vulnerable state probably. But then we were like there for each other. So anyways, that's kind of the short of it.
Well, it's so interesting that you were pre-med because you're also a photographer.
Right,
Matthew. Yeah. So have you always had this sort of like left brain, right brain thing? Like you're kind of split down the middle, or do you consider yourself more of a creative?
Yes. I think that's a really good way of putting it, between this left brain, right brain kind of thing. And I always felt that pull, that struggle growing up of like, oh, I really want to go into art, but also I love science. And I had a lot of trouble with that going back and forth. So I studied both in college, but I was very much like, you know, medicine's my career. Art is my hobby. You know, I don't know if I can make art my career. And that was tough. I just had a lot of teachers growing up, I guess, who more so pushed me in the direction of science. And I didn't feel like I had the space growing up to really pursue art as a career. So that's kind of like where YouTube came in, where it was this gateway where I was like, I can express myself and do anything I want on YouTube video wise, and then going into photography. But that was a really free creative space for me, just to express myself outside of school.
He was one of those frustrated kids who could like kind of do everything, you know. He was like really, really
apparently
also has like a really creative side.
I thought I was putting myself too thin, where I wasn't doing anything well enough because I was just trying to do everything.
I know that feeling. Well, and Michael, so you went to medical school for dentistry.
Yeah, so dental school.
And was that, I mean, but how did you bridge this gap between like social media and like, because it seems to me like most of the dentists I've had don't have like an outgoing, like
Dr. Latinelli is very outgoing.
That's true. Our dentist in New York is outgoing. He's great.
He's actually
our New York dentist is. But the ones before that,
typically,
you know, are a little more introverted. So
it's interesting. I feel like, I mean, I had a pretty small class, but I feel like you really ran the gamut of like personalities. We had people that were like super outgoing. And then we also had people who were like very to themselves and like very smart, but you know, like just quiet. So I don't know if it's just maybe in, you know, I'm younger and, you know, like a younger generation is just operates differently than maybe the older generation did. And there's just a lot more at our fingertips as far as social media goes. Like it wasn't really a thing when they were, you know, our age. So maybe I'm just used to it, and it just kind of comes a little bit more naturally than somebody who might be in their 60s or something. But yeah, I mean, I think I obviously like dabbled in YouTube like a little bit before I met him. And then obviously when we met, it was like, wow, there's a lot of things that I need to learn about, you know, just social media or photography or coffee or whatever, what have you. there's lots of things to learn. But I think it was, I mean, a lot of times it was weekends, you know, where we would like hang out and take our photos or like go travel somewhere, you know, just do something simple. But it was definitely a balance. I mean, when I was home during the week, it was like get home from school and like study like all night. But weekends is when we tried to expand our
creative stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's give people like a real perspective on what it's like to be a content creator. How often are you doing photo shoots?
Oh God. I just feel like it continues.
I mean, it's just constant anytime there's time and sunlight.
And sunlight. Yeah. Because we live in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. So, you know, like, you know, you can't really do an indoor shoot when it's super cloudy and gross outside. It's too dark and it doesn't look good on camera. So, and we don't like using like the setup lights, the
like indoor lighting
kind of thing. No, that's just hard for us to work with sometimes. Yeah, I don't know, some people
so
do.
You're literally like the sun's out, grab the
go
camera, let's go
get on a literally, cute outfit, let's go.
Basically. Sometimes
yeah. Sun's out. Let's get outside, we gotta figure this out.
Yeah, but I don't really know how we did it as much when we were in Nebraska as when we have been out here, because I feel like it's changed.
Things have changed a lot since we've gotten out to Oregon, just because in the last few years, the world of creators and influencers and all that has changed a lot from this kind of like YouTube perspective to and Vine. Like Vine was a big thing. I know TikTok's on the rise now, so we'll see where things go. But
y'all are going to be TikTok famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to do a duet. We should figure out a duet to do together.
Yeah.
It is. I've never done one.
Are you kidding? You've
never done a duet?
We'll do your first duet. We'll figure it out.
But yeah, it was like the movement from YouTube to Instagram, seeing how people change the way that they're doing content. Because it used to be like, all right, we're going to take a Saturday and we're going to make a YouTube video and we're going to write out a script or a layout or whatever. And then we're going to sit down in front of a window and set up the tripod.
Or we're going to go on a weekend trip and we're just going to vlog what we do.
Yeah.
And then come home and edit it.
And now I feel like content creation is much more so you have to incorporate it into your lifestyle. If you're going to consistently do it, if you're going to go out to a restaurant or meet friends or go to this place, some trip or whatever, then you just bring your camera and you make sure that you like take a minute to take a photo. Mm-hmm.
And it has to, I mean, I also think it's, I don't know if we necessarily have like a specific niche or whatever, but I know like some people are like food, some people are travel, some people are lifestyle, some people are crafts. I mean, I don't know, I think we just kind of try and do it all a little bit. But
I think if you have travel lifestyle,
like when I go onto the websites and I put in what we are, I say travel and lifestyle.
Yeah. But ain't nobody traveling right now, so you're just lifestyle right now. So
it's true.
So being from or living in Portland, how often do you drink Stumptown coffee?
Literally every day.
Obsessed.
It's in our kitchen.
Yeah, we brew it every day.
It's like in
can
our
you send us some?
Can you send us some? There's none in Pittsburgh where
we can't
we are
find
right
it
now.
In Pittsburgh.
Oh my God, are you serious? No. But there's a location in New York, right?
Oh yeah.
We spend so much money there.
I thought we had some there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too. Yeah, they've got some time.
It's our fave.
But we used to have my parents send it out when we lived in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. We had to mail
shipments.
Yes, Stumptown. Expensive.
The Broadway Husbands podcast sponsored by Stumptown.
It's so good.
He's never been to Portland, right?
I've never been to Portland. Just to Portlandia.
Oh, right.
Portlandia. Most episodes I've seen have been cloudy. It's yeah. very beautiful when it's sunny.
It's a stereotype.
Yeah.
So you I know you. So you've been married now 2 years.
Yeah,
coming up 2 in June.
And you got married in Nebraska, or you got married in Portland,
Oregon?
In Portland.
Yeah.
Okay. Columbia, outside of Portland.
It's called the Columbia River Gorge area. So yeah, right next to like the river, kind of.
It's gorge.
It was yeah, gorge.
It's gorge. It's gorge. Mm-hmm. So, and now you guys are making this huge decision to buy a house.
Yeah. Next week.
We're moving next week.
Mm-hmm. You're moving during COVID.
Yes,
we are.
Does kind of weird.
It yes. doesn't make me, well, I don't know. I'm still like full time, luckily. If that was not the case, we would not be buying a house right now. Interest rates were definitely something that we wanted to take advantage of. They're very low right now. If I'm still employed and it doesn't look like that's going to change, and this was our goal, like 2 years and then like find a house. So
and we started looking right at 2 years. About 6 months ago is when we started looking.
Yeah, like before all of this happened. So we were like kind of primed and ready to go. And then, yeah, we ended up just finding one that we liked where we...
It just kind of like fell and everything fell into place because we went and yeah. looked at it and it, you know, we put offers on quite a few houses around Portland, but none of them have ever stuck. It's always been someone outbidding us, things like that.
Very competitive.
It's been very competitive, even with COVID-19 happening and the pandemic, the market's
so you were bidding during the pandemic, like you weren't yeah. closed before. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No.
Wow. I mean, that's crazy.
Right when it started, we were like backup offer on this one house. And we were like, well, we have to change our offer because we have no idea what's going to happen, but we really like the house. And we changed our offer and they're like, no, because they knew that they could get more. So it's like still competitive, even though everything's like still happening. So it's weird. And that's what our realtor said too. She's like, it's not really going to crash like 2008. So just, you know, if you find something you want, like just, you know, as long as you are stable enough and still have a job, like you can still go for it. It's fine.
That's so. Really exciting. Congratulations. Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Please, we excited. Our first home.
I know.
So exciting.
We have to say we're homeowners when yes. we bought our place.
homeowners. I mean, we bought an apartment, so it's not exactly.
Wait, the same. She's saying something. What'd you say?
I'm sorry. I said it would be a great Instagram name.
That's right.
Yeah, always thinking. Now. Always thinking that, Matthew. I wanted to ask you guys, are you theater people? Do you ever go to the theater? Are you?
Yeah, I am. I love musical theater.
Sorry.
Tell us.
Is that what I sound like?
No.
No, I did theater in high school. I didn't do anything in college or anything like
what
that.
What shows did you do in high school?
Guys and Dolls, Into the Woods, and I can't remember what the last one was. That's so long ago.
I was the Man in Black and Princess Bride.
Wow.
Ooh.
In eighth grade. So thrilling. Anyway.
And then I had a couple friends who actually went on to theater, like majored in theater and are in New York and doing the whole thing. But I actually have a music degree, so I've been around like music for a long time. But yeah, I mean, I absolutely love stuff. And I have mostly pushed Matthew to go and watch.
I love going. It isn't something that I grew up with yeah. and around. So really meeting Michael was like my first dive into yeah. musical theater, and I've learned a lot more about it since, but I have a whole long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very novice. I just really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, there's lots of there's great theater in Portland. There's some really good theaters. Mm-hmm.
We just went to Dear Evan Hansen. Book of Mormon was supposed to be here. We've gone to that twice.
We've gone to Dear Evan Hansen twice. Book of
Dear
Mormon
Evan Hansen
once.
Twice. Yeah, Dear Evan Hansen yeah. once.
Mm-hmm. I played Portland on tour.
You
which
have? Oh, cool.
South Pacific. It was 2010.
Was it 10 or 11?
2010, because we got married in 11, yeah.
Oh, right. It was after the tour, right. Okay.
That's when I, like, Stumptown wasn't, like, a national thing yet.
2010. Oh, you discovered 2010. It. You just discovered it before.
2010 is cool. When I moved to Seattle.
So you're welcome. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
He didn't discover it. He didn't, please. He didn't discover it.
Original Stumptown.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, sponsor.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Oh, yeah. And I know you guys are, now that you're buying a house, your plan now is to start a family.
Yes.
Or at least start talking about it.
Fur babies.
Correct. I think
you're going to start fur babies.
Fur baby first and then real baby after that.
Yeah.
What kind of dog do you want?
That's a great question. We keep looking online and it's just like, I keep looking and I keep falling in love with all the dogs. I can't decide. But they're also very hard to find because, like, if you see a picture and you're like, what kind of dog is that? What kind of mix is that? I don't know. And then do they exist? Is it real?
Or you look them up and they're like, you can only get them in Pennsylvania or something. Like, I looked up a breed and it was like, here you can buy them and they're this much money. And then I was like, oh, they're in Pennsylvania.
But then we want to like get some, we want to get one from a shelter or something, or, you know, there's so many dogs out there that don't have homes. And then there's also breeders and there's like creepy breeders and weird websites. And it's just a weird world out there on Google.
And they're saying all the shelters are empty right now. Not all of them, but they're saying a lot of them are empty because everyone's just home and they're just like, oh, maybe I'll get a dog.
Well, that's great.
I know. Yeah. I know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at. We're like,
but I mean, looking online, we really like Shibas.
Okay. I think they're pretty.
They're pretty.
I've heard like they're moody and they have a lot of energy and they can be like blah blah blah.
They're
and
a there's like dog.
We get it. They're not a perfect dog, but they're very pretty. Very like cute fox.
Yeah. And there's some mixes that you liked.
And there's some mixes. I mean, I love our neighbors, Labradoodle, I think, or Golden Doodle.
Golden Doodle?
No, Labradoodle. Those Golden Doodles. They're so cute. Yeah.
They're very cute. They like don't shed.
All the doodles.
Yeah, hypoallergenic.
All about that. So then we were thinking maybe like a smaller dog poodle mix. Maybe something that we could like take with us if it was small enough, if we're traveling. So tune in.
So keep many decisions. Oh, it's going to be so. And then would you start a whole new Instagram account just for the dog?
No, oh, I don't know.
I say that now. It's like, okay. 3 months later.
I think it would
be that, we're like, selling merch.
I don't think that we're getting a dog specifically to make them an Instagram, but if we have like a whole bunch of photos of this dog, we're probably not going to spam our own account. We have to figure something out.
I have friends, and I'm not saying any names, but I know people in the community who pick their dog like that has to be this breed so that they can name it this certain thing because that name's available on Instagram. They reserve the account.
Stop. Yeah.
Really? Oh my God, I'm so shocked by that. I don't know why. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Nothing surprises me.
Something tells me that maybe that happened to somebody that you know.
No, me. That's what he said. No, oh, wait. Know, did you guys were... do it? Oh, no. Did you?
No, no, no. I'm just like, oh, no.
No, never.
I mean, of course, something like that happens, but like.
It's... I mean, we are getting a dog. We're calling it TikTok, but.
FYP.
Calling him FYP.
Hashtag FYP is the name of the dog.
I took both of those Instagram names.
Besides going to work, are you guys mostly in the house, or like what is your like quarantine or like lockdown situation there? Like how often are you leaving the house or
to go to the store?
Yeah.
I just go to work and go to the store. We helped a friend shoot like a short video for their business, like displaying like curbside pickup or you know, and like stuff like that today.
That's been the first time we've been very out doing anything.
I was gonna say, which was very unique. I haven't driven into the city since this started and mid-March.
Yeah, stores are trying to figure out how they're going to open up in the future now, and so they're setting up a curbside pickup for this store downtown
for like retail.
And so you can like window shop and point to what you want, and then they put it in a bag, and then you get the bag at the door.
Yeah, so that was the first time that I'd done anything that wasn't the store, exercise, our house, or work. But that's pretty much it. Like, we'll go outside, we'll run, we'll go to the store,
and I've been home here,
and I go to work.
But have you been spending more time together during this time than you normally do, or is it about the same?
Well, at first, I was working, like, one day a week, one to, like, 2 days a week.
And so we were spending a lot of time together.
And there was a lot of time together.
Why do you say it like that?
And then I started back full-time after, like, 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks of that. So.
And now I miss them. I'm like, oh.
Well, during the extra time, did you guys learn anything new about each other that you didn't already know? And maybe what was that?
No idea. I learned that Michael is messy. He
rude.
Leaves mess around the house. He leaves his things everywhere. Glasses, dishes, all over. Doesn't put anything away.
These are all lies. Ask Matthew who cleaned the house this morning.
I was making money so we could eat and live. I was answering emails. It was very important.
I like
Matthew
the story.
And I clean,
basically.
Those are our roles.
Yeah. Those are our gender roles.
Yep.
Oh my God.
No, I don't know if we like learn anything specific. I think we learn how to live with each other better, maybe.
I mean, I just think
learning experience.
I think that there was definitely an expectation that if I wasn't at my work, that I was at Matthew's work. I was now an employee.
I thought that when we were running a business together, that maybe somebody would want to participate in the business.
I think I just underestimated like my daily duties at House of Matthew Incorporated.
I guess that's a really big learning thing that we did. We went through a lot of learning.
There we go.
We were like, oh, your expectation is this, and my expectation is this. And those don't match at all on any level. Mm-hmm. So we got to figure that out.
We totally understand what you're talking about. We get it. We don't have the same expectations, I think, always.
I expect you to cook.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely the designated cooker and cleaner.
Well, I get very.
I'm
probably like Matthew a little bit. I'm just like, I wake up and I'm like, ooh, I've got like 15 ideas, and I'm gonna like try to make them happen. And he's like, did you eat? And I'm like,
did you eat?
No.
What are you doing? Like,
I'm having coffee. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say?
What's food?
Right. So he ends up kind of feeding me usually and reminding me. Yeah, that's been the hard part of this whole thing is like getting a consistent routine of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
but I got a whiteboard and I write down like all these tasks on the whiteboard, and it's not really in any organized fashion. It's just kind of like writing everywhere. But I don't know, when this thing started and Michael was home all the time, I would put things on the whiteboard thinking, okay, he's going to see him on the whiteboard and then he's going to do this.
He's just
going to
magically do that.
But then he didn't. And I was like, why are you playing City Skyline all the time, like, on the Switch?
I'm in quarantine and I'm enjoying my time off work.
And then I'd be like, but this but isn't you're working vacation.
For me. I'm the same way, Matthew.
Oh my God.
I'm not at work. This is vacation.
And I was like, so you got to find another way to make money.
Exactly. I'm the exact same way. I'm like, Steven.
I feel like a lot of people are going through that. Or maybe we're just crazy. Probably.
I'm like, Steven, Broadway may not come back. We got to make money. We got to figure it out. Yeah. Who knows?
It will. It will come back.
Yes. So,
hey, Matt, slow your roll. It's okay.
So I guess this leads me to another question I want to ask you. If you had to be quarantined with somebody else, a celebrity or like well-known famous person, you know, anyone dead or alive besides your husband, who would it be?
Wow. I am terrible at these questions.
Ryan.
Oh my God. Paula Deen. I just want all of the food.
Oh, that's a nice wholesome question. Or nice wholesome answer that you have.
I just was trying to pick somebody that would make me food.
Oh, that's good.
And that's what came
that's
to mind.
All.
Paula Deen.
Ryan Gosling.
All right.
I'd get my quarantine 15 real quick.
Oh, with Paula Deen? Yeah. She's like, here's some butter. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what would you do with Ryan Gosling?
I'd get my quarantine 15.
You'd lose 15.
God. I don't even know what that means.
Maybe you'll find out.
You'd be okay with me quarantining with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah,
sure. He's straight. It's fine.
It's fine.
Well, so what's next? What's next for you guys? Besides moving, like, what are you hoping to create? Or at one point, I think, Matthew, weren't you going to nursing school?
Yes. Still it? I'm starting in June.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Awesome. Congrats.
We'll see if it's online or if it's in person. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But yeah, it's exciting. It's just an accelerated program, year and a half. So I should be done next September, I think the program ends. Not this upcoming one, but the one after.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be a nurse.
That's so exciting. That's
amazing.
Yeah. I'm excited to have a job here at home that's steady.
Going back to science.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I love the freelance life and the creative stuff has been a lot of fun. But I think I got to the point last year where I was just like, okay, I miss having coworkers. I don't like working from home all the time. And I studied science and I'd like to continue, you know, more of that balance between the art and the sciences. It just keeps going back and forth. But I kind of just came to the realization that I've always done both and there's no reason I can't keep doing both. I just felt like there's a part of that missing, not doing science the past couple of years. And so it'll be nice to go back into that for sure.
That's exciting. Where do you see your creative ventures going when you start nursing school? And
so I know, like, it always looks different based off of how much school or what kind of school I'm doing. So obviously going to school, it's going to impact time a lot. And I'm not going to have as much time to do creative stuff, but I'm hoping that still on weekends and breaks and after nursing school, on breaks and stuff, we can still do trips and create cool content around LGBTQ travel and that kind of stuff. We still like blogging and writing, and a lot of the stuff that we do, we can do here at home. And a lot of what we do is just sharing our lives from the day to day. So that is, you know, it's a very simple thing, just to be able to share stuff every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So still doing photo, easy. Keep doing it.
Good. We can't. I mean, I just think you guys are pretty awesome. Everything you do, your content is so inspiring. You're really helping a lot of people. It's really nice. And now you'll be hashtag essential workers.
Yes!
Both of us will be. Yeah.
Both of you will. All right, now we're going to bring you guys into a segment we call Spotlight on Love. Isn't it cool in here? It's so cool.
Wow.
We're having way too much fun.
You guys are making me laugh. Okay, so in what we do in this segment is someone writes in or calls in or sends us an email and says, hey, this is my situation. Give me some advice. And this is from Matthew on Instagram. Not you, Matthew, a different Matthew. Stephen, you read it.
So I'm back home in Alabama during quarantine, but I live in New York City. But this guy and I have been talking for over a month and we really hit it off and we want to see where things go, but worry about the distance once quarantine is over because he'll have to stay in Alabama for another year and a half. Is long distance relationships possible? That's what he wrote. I guess, is a long distance relationship possible?
I think so. I mean, it depends on how invested you are, obviously, at the beginning and how long you have time to, like, I don't know, get the relationship going and learn about each other. But
absolutely, long distance relationships are possible.
I've seen it happen multiple times.
I think there's several questions that come to mind that you have to ask. I'm like, now I want to know more. Tell me more about
this. Like, we have so many questions.
But, you know, if you're thinking about this relationship, start the relationship. If you're really interested in this guy, great, cool. The worst thing that can happen is that things don't work out and you move on, but you're not going to know if you don't try. So you can try it. And you have breaks. You have times that you're going to go back to Alabama. That's awesome. You're going to be able to see your boy there. That's great. Is he going to be able to come visit you in New York? Cool. Okay, we can start breaking up that time of a year and a half to these shorter periods of time that you're going to be apart. That's going to be hard, but you're going to have breaks. We were able to see each other and that's going to be awesome. And a year and a half really isn't that long in the span of things, you know?
Yeah. And as long, I mean, if you throughout the relationship and you're, you know, long distance and eventually you're like, well, are you going to move to New York? Or like, am I going to move to Alabama? And then all of a sudden things are like, well, we don't really see how we're going to be able to be in the same place ever. Then obviously, you know, maybe it won't pan out, but I don't know. We'll just have to see.
But then again, like when I met him, I was expected to stay in Seattle, you know, like I was
expecting that he would stay in Seattle.
Right. I was graduating from college and thinking, all right, okay, I'm going to get a job here and live in my favorite city, Seattle. And then I met him and he's starting dental school in Nebraska.
Great.
And it was kind of like,
he did not like it.
I didn't like it.
But he's still here.
Nebraska Green.
Is Nebraska great?
It was great for school.
Yeah.
And I'm fine being out of that after school. But it wasn't bad. It's just like not exciting.
I had to make the decision between a city that I really love and this guy I just met who I think I love, but I don't know. Do I want to go?
I can't believe his parents let him do that.
Oh my God. Yeah. I can't either.
I feel like our parents had just been like, what's happening? So fast.
Have you seen the show 90 Day Fiance?
It's basically
no, we haven't watched it yet. No. Okay. I saw it on your stories though.
Oh my God. Best content in the
revelation
universe.
Where I was like, that was our relationship basically.
Yeah.
It's like 90 Day Fiance. We meet online, you immediately go see each other, and then you see if you can make it work in 90 days or less.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, I would say like sometimes, you know, what is it? What's the saying? Distance makes the heart grow fonder or something.
Yeah.
Right? Absence. Is that the thing?
Absence.
Oh, sorry.
It's the same.
So like when I remember he went to Peru for like 3 months, like in the middle of us dating, you know, and I mean, we got to see each other like halfway point or whatever, but it was still like 6 weeks and then 6 weeks. And, you know, so, I mean, we've done distance before and it's worked out. You just kind of have to.
There's a huge romantic side to, long distance relationships, which is great. But
and it's like, what are you going to do in the same city at this point? Nothing's open.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
that's true.
That's very true.
Time to date online.
I was gonna say, like, everything's online anyway. If you're gonna meet somebody, they're gonna be online anyway. What do you got to lose?
That's true. Right. That's right.
Did we adequately spotlight that love?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yes, and, you did.
Matthew, you know, I'm saying vote yes.
Well, where can people find you guys? You have your own solo Instagram accounts, but then you also have your joint account.
I would definitely search our joint account.
At Michael and Matt on Instagram.
Michael and Matt, and also on YouTube at Michael and Matt, right?
Matthew Jeweler. I wish we had the youtube.com/Michael and Matt, but we don't.
I'm going to kill them. Who is it?
No.
I don't know. So yeah, Matthew Jeweler or Michael Lindsay 89 on YouTube.
Awesome. You guys are so cool. I can't wait to duet on TikTok with you.
Yes.
Michael and Matt won on TikTok.
Because Michael and Matt was so
Yeah.
Oh. Well, thank you for joining us. You guys are such an inspiration.
For having us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And remember to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Suffs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.